All right. Amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning. And we enjoyed the Sunday school hour this morning. That time together, that was a good morning time. And we enjoyed our Sunday school time and presentation of the Rock of Ages. If you was here and you got to see that, that was a good time. We got to present some Bibles and mention a few things in that hour. The pastor said he enjoyed the verses that I used about would not. Now, he mentioned that. I was looking for those pages. I did find them. And what I brought out last night in my jail service. And so I just thought I'd bring some of these verses out, mention them to you again. In Deuteronomy, they said, it shall be if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that you shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. That's just one verse. Amen. And they would not, because they have not hearkened to my word, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets. This is in the book of Jeremiah, rising up early and sending them, but you would not hear. And so the verses are over and over in the Bible about would not. I just thought I'd just mention that one more time. Over and over again, I have three pages, but I nowhere near covered the places in the Bible where the would nots are found. Here's my other places. They're all highlighted. Amen. The would nots in the Bible. We will not hearken, they said. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. And we will not walk therein. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear. And they hearken not. And so over and over again, they just would not. Amen. Would not. Well, that's the trouble with people sometimes, amen? They don't give ear, and they just simply close their ear, and they say, you ever seen anybody act like this? Anybody, you try to tell them to do something, and little children, they stick their finger in their ear, don't they? And they just say, you know, they're just simply not going to listen. And you probably seen somebody do that before. You probably done it yourself, amen? And that's the way people are sometimes. They're just not going to hear what you have to say. So maybe we'll have a little bit better response this morning from the message. In Mark chapter 6, if you'll take your Bible and turn there with me this morning, maybe we'll get something out of this message. Mark chapter 6 this morning. Yes, we did have a wonderful jail service last night. We had a wonderful response from the men. And I brought out several of those verses in the Bible of the would nots in the Bible. And I only covered just a few. There's so many. And the men got a blessing out of it. The would nots in the Bible. Over and over again, I preached on the verses of would not. They would not. They just simply would not. And they really enjoyed it. They got something out of it, I believe. And so the response was real good. In Mark chapter 6, we're going to see something out of the verses here that I believe is interesting about the Lord Jesus. And again, it's been a blessing to be here with you this morning. My wife, Virginia, and I'm not sure how many of you was here in the first hour, but my wife, Virginia, is here this morning with me. And then I have two guests sitting behind her that was here this morning. I presented Bibles to, and we appreciate them being here, James and Daniel. And we do serve with the Rock of Ages ministry. Our display is in the back table back there. And we've been working with the prisons in the state of Ohio for just about 20 years, been working with the Rock of Ages for 27 years. And the Lord has blessed us. We have seven children. And we had our seventh child when we started with the Rock of Ages. So she just had her birthday in July. That means she turned 27. Is that right? Something like that. Anyway, that's kind of the way it went. Okay. So we had our seventh child when we started with the Rock of Ages, and so that's how we remember all these things. So you know, you got to put these dates and all these different things in, or you forget. That's why you don't have babies when you get older, because you lay them down and you forget where you put them. Amen. So anyway, that's right. Amen. And then when you get older, you learn something real smart. You learn, what do you do with crying babies? You give them to their mommy. That's what you do with them. Amen. All right. In Mark chapter 6, the Bible says, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" So they begin to question right away. In verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he cannot there do many, or do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching them." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, this morning we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the people here this morning. Thank you for the house of God. Our presence here, we pray this morning that you'd meet with us around your word. I pray that you'd bless the message today. Help us, Lord, to proclaim and preach, Lord, the thoughts here this morning from your word. I pray that you'd bless every point today and the things that need to be said. We pray that you'd use it. Pray that you'd be honored today. Pray that you'd help us mightily, we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's some things that I want to point out in this passage this morning, in these six verses about the Lord Jesus. And in this passage here, the Bible says that they had a little bit of question about who Jesus was, and they had a little bit of confusion about Christ. And that was a little bit of a problem right there to begin with. Amen. The Bible says that in verse 5, that he could there do no mighty work. Now, the Bible doesn't say that he wasn't able to do anything, because it did say that there he could save, he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So he was able to do a few things. But the thing that he could not do was mighty work. And so I want to give you some thoughts this morning about what hinders the mighty work of God. What might hinder the mighty work of God? And are we satisfied with just a little bit of work being done sometime in the work of God? Or do we want to see the mighty work of God done? Do you want to see the mighty work of God done in your life? Is the mighty work of God important? You know, I believe there's a distinction here between the mighty work of God and the work of God. Because the work of God was done by Christ. He took he did the work of God because he healed a few sick folk. That's what he did. But there was a distinction between that and the mighty work of God. The Bible said there he couldn't do the mighty work of God. The mighty work of God was hindered. Now, what was the reason? What was the cause? What stopped the mighty work of God? I want to give you some points to help us understand. Jesus was known for the work that he did. He was known for someone who helped the lame to walk again. He was known to make the leper clean, open the blind eyes, to help the deaf to hear. He was known for some of those things. That was some mighty work. But he was also known for other things that was mighty work. And you and I know him as who he was. He was God himself. That's who he was. And they didn't know him as God. They didn't know him as who we know him as. And so, but he is known for someone to do mighty work. So back in Nazareth there, they hated him in these verses that we see. They question in verse 2, from whence hath this man these things? So what was question? Well, in verse 2, the Bible says that he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. They said, whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is given unto him? What wisdom is given unto him? See, they begin to question right there exactly who he was, and by that, I believe they begin to question the authority of him, himself, and by that, I believe they question that man, Christ Jesus. And the man, Christ Jesus, is the man who we know as, who the Bible teaches as, the Word of God. And so I believe what hinders the mighty work of God, not only there, but what might hinder the mighty work of God in our life is when you and I begin to question the authority of the Word of God. When we begin to question the authority of God's word in our life, when you and I have a question about what God says, what God means when he says it, when you and I look at the authority of God's word, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. So the Bible is the instruction book for all the man of God. See, a person that takes and preaches the Word of God and teaches the Word of God, I mean, what does he have to go on? He has the Bible. He has the Word of God, has his authority. He doesn't have anything else to back him up. And so when people begin to question the Bible, when people begin to question the authority of the Word of God, they get themselves in trouble. And so when you begin to question God's authority, then we're not going to see the mighty work of God take place. Amen? When we begin to question his authority. And the Bible says that Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's in Matthew chapter 28. So we know where the authority comes from, amen? It comes from God's word. And the Bible says he was the word. He was the word. The word dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So this Bible right here, he was all authority. So they begin to question his authority. That was the first thing that they had trouble with. They begin to question who he was. Oh, yeah, they question who he was. In verse 3, they said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James? They didn't know who he was. And that whenever you question about who he is, you don't have a full understanding of who Christ was and who he is in your life, then he's not going to do any mighty work in your life. You begin to question who he is in your life, he's not going to do a mighty work in your life. We have to get it down in our hearts of who he is. And what do you say? What do you mean by that? The Bible has a lot to say about the person of Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about you, the person of you. The Bible uses those terms, you, many times in the Bible, who you are and what he's done for you as a person. And the Bible has a lot to say about him, who he is. And so we have to look into all that without going over several verses. The Bible has a lot to say about him and then, you know, what he is and who he is. So the second thing is they were offended at him. In verse 3 it says, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" The Bible says, and they were offended at him. Offended. Do you ever get offended in who he is in your life? You ever get offended? Offended in the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Nothing shall offend them. So we should never get offended in the Word of God. Amen? Yeah. We should never get offended in the Word of God. Well, you can't get offended in the Word of God if you don't know the Bible that much. Huh? If you don't know much of the Bible, it wouldn't offend you. So most people don't get offended too much because they don't really know much about it. They don't really know what it says, so nobody goes around getting offended. But when you know what it says and you know what this Bible teaches, then when somebody goes against it, it ought to offend you. Right? It ought to offend you. But the Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." What I mean by that is, you ought to recognize that this Bible truth will take care of itself. Amen. This Bible right here, truth will take care of itself. You don't have to. You don't have to fight. You don't have to argue. You don't have to try to defend the Word of God. The Word of God will take care of itself. This Bible right here, but you need to know the truth. You need to know it. The Bible says, don't get offended. And don't be offended about the ways of God. Don't get offended about the ways of God. Let me read a verse to you. The Bible says in Isaiah 65 and verse 2, it says, "I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts." Which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Don't get offended in the ways of God. So in this verse, there's people that walked in their own way after their own thoughts. Don't get offended in the ways that God wants you to go. You know, but there's people that they follow their own paths. They follow their own thoughts. They follow their own direction. So the ways that God wants people to go, people get offended in that. People get offended in the will of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Amen. People get offended in the will of God. Bible says doing the will of God from the heart. Well, what's kept you in the ministry, preacher, over in 27 years? What's kept you doing the Rock of Ages, going from state to, of course, we've been all over the United States. You know, we've been from the West Coast to the East Coast, and from the north to the south, and we've been all over the state of Ohio. What's kept you doing that, preacher? What's kept you going all over the prisons and going in one prison, another prison, and all over the, you know, what kept you doing that? The will of God. You know, following the will of God. Okay? Not with eye service as men pleasers, but doing the will of God from the heart. Okay? So, don't get offended. Say, have you ever got offended, preacher? A few times. A little bit. You ever felt like you're offended? Yes. Do you let offenses bother you? I have, but I try not to. Amen. It's the will of God. You got to keep following the will of God. Amen. Right. Got to keep following the will of God. So, no mighty work can be done if you let offenses bother you. No mighty work can be done when there's you don't recognize the authority of who Jesus is. No mighty work can be done when there is unbelief in who he was. Unbelief in who he was. And in verse 4, it says, Jesus saith unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and he healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Unbelief. You can't see the mighty work of God done when there's unbelief. When there's unbelief. No mighty work of God will be done when there's unbelief. When there's offenses. When there's no authority. You don't understand who he is. Who he is. Who the Word of God is. What the Word of God is in your life. What it's given to us for. And when there's offenses in the will of God, in the ways of God, the ways God wants us to go, and in the belief of who he is, the belief of who he is. Those verses are found in John chapter 1, in the belief of who he is, John chapter 1. Of course, I quoted some of them in John chapter 1, but I'm going to go over there and read some of them. John chapter 1, going in the wrong direction. John chapter 1, I'm going to read some of them to you. John chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. He said in verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And he said in verse 21, verse 20, he said, he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he said, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us, what sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So, in verse 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So that's who he is. Amen? That's who he was. The Bible has a lot to say about who he was, about who he is. The Bible has a lot to say about who you are, who you are. And then the Bible has a lot to say about what he can do for you, what he can do for you. But there they could do no mighty work because of unbelief. Unbelief. We need to have belief in who he is. God with us. God manifest in the flesh. Then our relationship with him in verse 4, verse 3, it says again in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph? I read that before, but I'm going to read it again. It says, The brother of James and Joseph of Judah and Simon, are not his sisters here with us? Now, there was a physical relationship. It's not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon. They didn't really know him. They didn't know him because the Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John, for the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. What I'm saying to you is that there could be no mighty work unless the relationship that God has, that Christ offers to the believer, is known to the believer. That relationship to the believer is known. Known. So what do you mean by known, preacher? I'm talking about well known. I'm talking about well known. So what do you mean by well known? I'm talking about well known in such a way that you have a good relationship with him. A good relationship with him. A good, well-known relationship with him. That you and him communicate. Not like distant cousins, but like good brothers, amen? These two brothers right here, they get along good, don't they? Well, they do pretty good. They know what one of them's, they probably know, what a mark on one of them's arm, just like they did the mark on the other one's arm, amen? They probably know each other pretty good, huh? That's how well they know each other. Well, the relationship you have with the Lord is the kind of relationship you can have to see a mighty work of God done, amen? That's the kind of relationship you need to have to see a mighty work of God done. Not a kind of relationship that, you know, it's like a distant cousin. Hey, don't I know you? Well, I think so. I mean, you know, you're this person's dad, and they're this person's dad, and oh yeah, that's been 50 years ago. You know, that's not the kind of relationship I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone like a brother that you've been knowing right now. That's what is missing about seeing a mighty work of God done. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's a relationship. That's what sees a mighty work of God done. So, unbelief will hinder the mighty work of God. Being offended in him will hinder the mighty work of God. Being offended in the will of God. So God has a will for you. I don't want to do it. God has a way that he wants you to go. I don't want to go that way. You'll hinder the mighty work of God. You'll hinder the mighty work of God in your life. Unbelief. I just don't believe God can do that. You'll hinder the mighty work of God in your life. That'll hinder the mighty work of God. These things will hinder the mighty work of God. The authority of God. I just don't believe that's in the Bible. I don't believe the Bible means that. I don't believe it means that. I don't believe God means what he says. That'll hinder the mighty work of God. Well, that's what he says. That's the truth of God. God doesn't mean all men everywhere. All men. Well, that's what it says. Well, that, you know, you got to believe God. You know, can I trust him for all things? Can I trust him for this? Can I trust him for that? Well, that's what it says. Can I believe God? Can I go to him in prayer and ask him for something? And will he answer me? Answer me what I ask him for? Well, that's what it says. The mighty work of God done because you believe God's word. This is the word of God, the word of truth. And that's what sees the mighty work of God done in your life. These things. So, you want to see God do a mighty work? You want to see him do a mighty work in your life? These are the things. Don't get offended. Don't get offended in his will. He wants you to do something. No, I don't want to. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Whence hath this man these things? They were offended. Why is he doing these things? Why is he doing these things for? Such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Who does he think he is doing these things? Who's this man doing these things? These mighty things with his hands. Well, he wasn't doing a whole lot. He was just healing a few people. But what's this man doing these few things for? Who's that man think he is? And somebody's going to say the same thing about you. Who's that person think he is doing what he's doing? Well, I'm not going to do that because they'll get offended, or I'll get offended. I'm not going to do that. They'll get offended or I'll get offended. You want God to do a mighty work? That's what the Bible's saying here. They were offended. They were offended. You want God to do a mighty work? God to do a mighty work. Well, I'm a nobody. That's what they thought he was. I don't have no authority. You got his authority. Huh? Got his authority. If he calls you, huh? If he calls you, you got his authority. If he leads you, you got his authority. So who do you think you belong to? Well, you belong to him, don't you? Somebody ever asked you that before? Who do you think you belong to? Anybody ever asked you that before? Who do you think you belong to? Well, that's my daddy. Huh? How do you think you're going to get away with that? We'll see. We'll see. Let me call somebody. Hold on a minute. Huh? Call on the Lord. He'll help you. He's a very present help in time of trouble. You ever been in trouble? Huh? Mighty work of God done. Because you're going to get offended. You're going to be dishonored. You're going to be unrecognized. You're going to not have belief that you need to have. And Jesus said that, you know, that's what you need. I mean, he's saying here that they couldn't, he couldn't do it because it was unbelief there. There was unbelief. You could do no mighty work. They were offended in him. Now, if they would have had praise, if they would have had joy, if they would have recognized him, if they would have said, Lord, I believe, Lord. Other places they said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Oh, that touched his heart. That touched his heart. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That touched his heart. Is that how you are? Is that how you think? Is that how you think sometimes? I do believe, but help my unbelief. I want to believe. I know that this book is filled with authority. It's all authority. How come I don't obey it like I should? How come I don't address it like I should? How come I don't fall under it like I should? How come I don't trust it like I should? How come it ain't the utmost, the most, and the most of most like it should be? In all things, to all people, everywhere. Because it ain't all authority. But can you do mighty works? He could if it would be, huh? Maybe he could if it would be. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. All right. Thank you this morning. I'm gonna have the pastor come in. I think we're well right there where we need to be. So thank you this morning for our time, and I pray the Lord to use the thoughts this morning and would help you to decide and make a decision in your life about what the Lord would have you do, what the Lord would have you do in your life. Maybe the Lord has spoke to your heart about what you will do in serving him and what you will do with your life and allowing him to work in your heart and what he could do and what he wants to do in your life. Thank you, sir.
There in Mark 6 still, you notice in verse 2 that there were mighty works they had heard of. They'd heard of this man's mighty works. By verse 5, we recognize they're never going to get to see him. And verse 6 gives us the keys because they didn't believe. Some of us here need the Lord to intervene in a serious way. We've heard of the mighty works. But you'll never see them. You don't believe. You say, "Oh, I do believe." Well, the preacher gave us the answer this morning on how to see them. I'll ask, do you believe? How long did you spend with the Lord last week? How much time did you spend lingering in the presence of God? How often did you go alone into a room with an open Bible and wait on the presence of the Lord? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? 1 hour? 5 hours? Oh, I believe. Do we? Do we? Someone once said, the proof of the pudding is under the crust. And the proof of our faith is seen in how much we seek the Lord. If you're like me, you need some mighty works in your life right about now. If you're like me, there are people in your family who need some mighty works. You need to see God work mightily. Let's trust him for it. Would you bow with me in prayer? Thankful for the message. With nobody looking around, I'm just going to ask you with an uplifted hand, how do you would say, I'm in that category of people who need to see the mighty works of God in my life. You'd raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to see that. Good. Thank you. All over. All over. We need him, don't we? Put your hands down. But are we desperate? Are we desperate? Do we really believe that he will? And look at these poor folks. I don't know, did they believe Jesus couldn't? Did they believe that he wouldn't? Somewhere we fall in there. And I know we're busy. We spend more time chasing after things that don't matter instead of chasing after God. May God break our hearts. How do you say, pray for me? There's something specific the Lord touched my heart about this morning. And you say, by uplifted hand, pray for me. God spoke to my heart specifically. Good. Hands all over. Good. I want to encourage you as we stand in a moment and we have our quiet time, that you would allow God to do his work in your heart, that you would take from this place what he is imparting to you right now. That it wouldn't be like the heart, that your heart wouldn't be like the hard ground where the word falls on it and Satan snatches it away. And that happens to me, friends, unless God does a work. By lunchtime, I've forgotten what God has put on my heart. Let's accept what God has imparted to us. Let's linger on it for a moment. Let's let God do a work. If you need to come to the altar to pray, feel free, it's open. If you want to turn your chair into an altar there, that's fine as well. But let's do business with God. Dear Father in heaven, I pray that you would work in us, that we would not be as we've been in the past, the type of person where you cannot do a mighty work. Lord, I've been there. I don't want to be there now. I want to accept and believe and trust you to do these mighty things. We need your help this morning, and we beg for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.